Welcome to Ladybites, a short and sweet podcast. Join us, three female doctors, as we serve up bite-sized discussions on all things women's health. I'm Kira.
I'm Aoife.
And I'm Louise.
And we are three doctors with a special interest in women's health. And this evening, we're going to be talking about a condition which affects 1 in 9 women.
Today, we're going to delve into the world of endometriosis, a condition where tissue very similar to the lining of your uterus grows outside the uterus, causing inflammation and scar tissue in the pelvic region and beyond. And to me, endometriosis is the great mimicker. It presents with so many different symptoms. It's extremely difficult to diagnose. It can be really hard to know is that what's actually going on. And it can take on average about 9 years to get diagnosed in Ireland.
In general, with endometriosis, there are three common symptoms: painful periods, painful intercourse, and infertility. If you're missing days of work and school because of period pain, that's not okay. And I'm going to take this opportunity to almost publicly apologise to one of my friends that as a teenager, we would often laugh and say that she had a low pain threshold because she'd faint and have to go home from school. But in fact, days off school due to periods as a teenager is one of the biggest predictors of endometriosis. And that's not to say that every woman that has painful periods has endometriosis. While the symptoms of endometriosis often remain isolated to menstruation, the natural history of endometriosis is that pain progresses to before and then after periods, as well as during them. And the pain becomes more than just period cramps. It starts to affect other parts of your life, such as pain during sex or pain when doing a poo.
I suppose we also need to think about the so many additional symptoms. It causes issues with your bladder. It can cause issues to your bowel. It can cause persistent chronic pain and therefore mental health challenges due to these chronic pain syndrome. I remember looking at a case once where someone had endometriosis in their nose causing cyclical or monthly bleeds from their nose. So endometriosis can affect pretty much everywhere and cause all sorts of symptoms and can be really distressful for women that don't really know what's going on and are suffering with pain.
And then in terms of fertility, if you're having trouble getting pregnant, there's a 50% chance that you could be diagnosed with endometriosis.
And nearly 75% of women with endometriosis have had to take unpaid leave due to their periods.
So this condition, endometriosis, it's really common. It affects 1 in 9 women. And importantly, if you do have a family member that has endometriosis, you've got a tenfold increased risk of also having it yourself. And the first thing I always tell patients is get a diary, start tracking your symptoms, start tracking when you're bleeding, start tracking what's triggering it, what things in life are causing symptoms and distress. And it's amazing the power that this can give to women to allow them to feel more in charge of their symptoms and also to be aware of their triggers.
And the tricky part with endometriosis is that blood tests aren't going to be helpful. And actually, a lot of the time, ultrasound scans aren't going to be helpful. Endometriosis is a multi-system disease. Around 90% of sufferers have normal pelvic ultrasounds. The gold standard for the diagnosis remains a diagnostic laparoscopy. So that's a keyhole procedure which involves a specialist, general anaesthetic, and it's an invasive nature. So it can be really tricky to get that diagnosis.
And actually, as you were saying, Aoife, about the delayed diagnosis, there's quite a long wait list to get a laparoscopy under a specialist to diagnose endometriosis.
What can we do? We know this kind of triad, there's those painful periods, painful sex, infertility, there's always additional symptoms. But where do people go? Bloods, as we said, aren't helpful. Scans can sometimes be helpful. Ideally, get a laparoscopy to have a look to get the kind of a definitive diagnosis. But what can people do?
I think the really important thing is that we have to remember that we have to believe women. This has to be centered around the woman's experience. So actually going to your GP and discussing through the symptoms, and then we can figure out what's the best management option for a woman. So it might just be painkillers, looking at the kind of the painkillers they're using and finding appropriate medication, whether that's over the counter or prescription. Other medications then that the doctor might explore might be hormonal medications. So this could be the contraceptive pill. This is to suppress your periods.
There's some interesting studies, I don't know, have you read about in Australia where they start the pill in very young girls and it's shown to reduce endometriosis rates later in life and therefore having significant improvement in fertility rates by starting the contraceptive pill earlier.
If the contraceptive pill isn't suitable, we might look at the progesterone hormonal contraceptives. That can be things like the progesterone-only pill. There's a newer option called Zofrilla on the market. There's Provera, there's Primulet, there's the Depo-Provera injection, although there can be a delay in return to fertility after the injection, and this injection is given every 12 weeks. There's the Implanon, or the bar that goes in the upper arm, although that's not really reliable in stopping periods. And then there's the Mirena coil, which is a coil that produces progestogen. It sits inside the womb. But unfortunately, if you're having really heavy endometriosis, you have a higher risk of expelling this coil.
When GPs see patients with endometriosis, it affects 1 in 9. So it's our bread and butter. This is what we see and manage all day. So a lot of patients and the majority of women, we can manage with simple analgesia and hormonal methods. But if that doesn't work, well, then it is important to get referred to specialists that can help. And as a specialist gynecologist, the options they have is they have more hormonal methods that can help to shut down this inflammatory response that's happening every month to that tissue that's triggered when you have a cycle. And then often, which is the mainstay of treatment, is excision surgery. And that can significantly help reduce symptoms and improve fertility rates.
And then really important is thinking about lifestyle options that people can do themselves at home. So things like regular exercise, having a balanced diet, maybe involving a dietitian, stress management techniques, making sure you're getting adequate sleep.
One of the most important things that people can do is to quit smoking. Smoking significantly worsens endometriosis symptoms.
All these act to complement medical interventions to improve our well-being, particularly in people who are undergoing surgery.
It might be helpful to involve other health professionals, such as acupuncturists, psychologists, dietitians, physiotherapists, and then the support groups and counselling services that are out there, like Endometriosis Ireland, can offer invaluable emotional support and practical advice. And it can also help feeling that you're not on your own experiencing this condition.
When we talk about endometriosis, we're really not sure what causes endometriosis. We talk about diet, we talk about environment, and we know that it is much more common in families. There's lots more research studies suggesting that there might be genetic components that people have that put you at a higher risk of getting endometriosis. And it's probably due to multiple factors, multiple genes and environmental effects as well. And also there's some new evolving saliva tests that might be able to help us more commonly in the future at diagnosing endometriosis without the need to have that invasive surgery. Laparoscopy at the moment is our best way of diagnosing it.
Laparoscopy is people's going the keyhole surgery. You still are put to sleep, so you have an anaesthetic. You have to go into hospital for the day, and they make small cuts or incisions into your tummy, so one at your belly button, and then two other sites around your abdomen. And then they put cameras in and they take a little look around. For most people, they would go home that day or the next day, but there is not always the opportunity to actually treat endometriosis.
I suppose the first myth, and we love busting myths, is that endometriosis is just simply a bad period. Just get on with it and put up with it. And that's kind of what had been taught in school.
Yeah, pelvic pain during periods is a common symptom of endometriosis. It's not just bad period pain. It's chronic pelvic pain that's interfering with daily activities, and it's kind of occurring outside of just your period in other parts of the menstrual cycle.
Another myth I often hear is that endometriosis only affects older women. So endometriosis commonly affects women of reproductive age, but it can also occur in adolescents and older women. And a delayed diagnosis is common, and that can contribute to the misconception that it only affects older women.
People often talk about pregnancy curing endometriosis, and while some women experience temporary relief from endometriosis symptoms during their pregnancy, it's not a cure. Endometriosis symptoms may return after childbirth or when hormonal changes with the pregnancy subside.
And we've heard those horrible stories where someone very unkindly has told a woman with endometriosis, well, just go off and have kids, or it's because you haven't had children that's led to your condition. And that can be terrible, putting blame on an individual. I suppose speaking about having children, the myth about endometriosis always causing infertility. Yes, it's a leading cause of infertility, but not all women with the condition are infertile. Many women with endometriosis can conceive with or without medical assistance. And I suppose the severity of endometriosis can affect fertility outcomes. The myth that hysterectomy cures endometriosis. Yes, a hysterectomy with surgical removal of the womb can alleviate the symptoms relating to bleeding. We've talked about endometriosis is where there's a tissue outside the womb. So a hysterectomy isn't going to remove all these other deposits of tissue which may be contributing to symptoms.
So dispelling these myths is crucial to improve understanding, increase awareness, and promote early diagnosis and effective management of endometriosis.
In summary, when we talk about endometriosis, it's a really common condition. It affects 1 in 9 women, and it presents with common symptoms, painful periods, painful sex, and infertility. We're making so many more advances and we're learning much more about this condition, but we don't fully understand it yet, much like we don't fully understand why some people get it and some people don't.
So I think the take-home point is, if you were concerned that you had endometriosis, if you had symptoms like we described, or you just were worried about it, that it's important to seek help because there is help available to you. Remember, the advice shared in this podcast is informative, but not a replacement for your own GP. Consult your doctor for any concerns about your health.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a follow on Instagram at Ladybite Podcast for further information, and reach out to us via email at ladybitepodcast@gmail.com to share your stories and suggestions for a future episode.